Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
The only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it. According to this word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Clap those hands and give the Lord honor. Anybody grateful for Jesus? Get those notebooks out. If you have an Advent journal, if you haven't got your Advent journal, they're available. Please see one of the hospitality. Just get them before you leave. If you got a fresh notebook, whatever you need, make sure that you are heading your pages, preparing for arrival. Somebody say, I'm preparing for arrival. One more time, say, I'm preparing for arrival. I sent the team my notes for the next 4 weeks, a few weeks ago. When you have a walking relationship with God, sometimes God will give you something for the future that you don't know you're going to need when you get there. This is the first Sunday of Advent. God has instructed me to lead you on a journey. We spent the last 6 months dealing with growth. Last two of those months were specifically dealing with the expectation and reality of harvest. So over the next 4 weeks in our Advent series, I'm going to bring our focus to a distinct point. Arrival requires preparation. Now, I have so much to say, I'm going to say it in small chunks. So y'all give me 38 more minutes. And I'll be through. If you know something is coming, literally like Elder Brittany was reading my notes, if you know something is coming, we must not ignore the readiness that is required to receive it. It just would make no sense if you got a notification that a package was arriving between the hours of 9 and 12. Watch this, that requires your signature. It just wouldn't make no sense when we told you when to be looking for it. If you just decided that you was just gonna be like, you know what, let's take a chance. I ain't even gonna be home. Either you're so arrogant that you do not believe instructions, or you really don't have any respect and honor for the package that's coming. You can't want it that bad if you won't follow instructions. I've spent the last few weeks preparing myself for what is ahead. And people of God, I know without a shadow of a doubt that we're on the verge of something. A package is arriving any day now that requires our signature. You can leave the house if you want to, but they're not going to leave it at your front door. It's funny that when we have a package coming at our house, we have a family text message group, Deacon Sanders, and any of us that has a package will send a text message to the group, whoever home, y'all be looking, because I got a package coming. Whoever's there, I need y'all to be on the lookout for my package. Deacon Guan, I would like to argue that the Lord been telling us for a while, be on the lookout. We keep acting like, Deacon Devin, that we got time. We keep complaining about big people. Some of my marketplace people, y'all get that. We keep complaining about famines and pestilence and big grapes. So as we prepare for arrival, there are four things that we must be. Four. Number one, be bold. Because your spiritual softness ain't gonna get you nothing. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. It's possible to be bold and gentle at the same time. It's possible to be bold and gentle at the same time. If you only know how to be bold and harsh, you really don't understand how to control yourself. Number two, be focused. I'm giving them all to you. Don't worry. I'm going to spend the rest of my 34 minutes on boldness. So number one, be bold. Number two, be focused. Number three, be humble. All these arrogant jokers. Arrogant. Number four, be willing. Be willing. So what's number one, class?
Be bold.
Number two?
Be focused.
Come on, class. Number three?
Be humble.
Number four?
Be willing.
Now, before I deal with the need for spiritual boldness today, because I just gave y'all the outline for the next 4 weeks, but before I deal with the need for spiritual boldness, I need to double down on why Advent is important, because I know, how many of you didn't grow up celebrating Advent? Me neither, hands down. Advent is the season that we celebrate the arrival of Jesus. It baffles me. Bishop Desmond Juanita, it baffles me how we can understand what something is about and still reject it. Advent is the season that we celebrate the arrival of Jesus. It's the season where we place ourselves in the mindset and the posture and anticipation of arrival. Now, some smart individual may be in the class today or on our virtual audience who's sitting there listening to us. Some smart individual would say, you don't know what you're talking about, preacher, because Jesus was not born in December. I know. All historical evidence, along with the archaeological record and everything that most any theological scholar will tell you, is that he was most likely born in spring. As a matter of fact, Jesus is so perfect that his birth and his death actually correspond almost simultaneously by the year. I know he wasn't born in December. That don't mean I can't celebrate him here. Amen. I'm not going to celebrate his death and his birth in the same month. I'm giving him multiple months. Some may say, well, Bishop, the narratives of his birth are more tied to tradition. I can give you some of that. You know, three wise men, that ain't in the Bible. All them manger scenes where he outside, manger probably wasn't outside. Oh, sister. It wasn't in there. They didn't have no money, so they couldn't get into a hotel room. That's also false. It just said it was sold out. It said they got there and the hotel was sold out. So they had to go get some alternative lodging. And most theologians say, because watch this, they were traveling there for a pilgrimage. Joseph had family in the town. He was probably just moved to another family's house. And the family's house was big enough to have its own stables. And the manger that Jesus was in was most likely in the outside room of the covered portico of his wealthy family's house. We love to make Jesus broke so we can justify our brokenness. Matter of fact, the Bible says he became poor. Didn't say he was. Said he became. Never mind. And yes, I know that consumerism often rules the season. But that should mean that we should dig into the celebration of Jesus. Advent, can I lay the stage? Y'all okay? Advent is tied to the celebration of the incarnation. I-N-C-A-R-N-A-T-I-O-N. Warm them pins up. I-N-C-A-R-N-A-T-I-O-N. Incarnation. Incarnation comes from the Latin incarne, or in flesh. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1, and we beheld his glory, right? So the incarnation is the doctrine that affirms that Jesus Christ is the earthly manifestation in the flesh of the divine word. And as a corollary, he is, watch this, fully God and fully man. That he was born at a specific time and place in history. And that he died and was resurrected at a specific time and place in history. So when I stand up here for Advent, what I'm really saying is Jesus is real. He's fully man, he's fully God. He's not a myth. He ain't like anybody else you've ever seen in your life. He was born at a specific place at a specific time. He died at a specific place at a specific time. And he got up at a specific place in a specific time, just like he said he would. This, to me, is worthy of celebration. Now, if y'all want me to wait till spring, you wait. I'm not. During this time, we're supposed to be getting ready. It calls for readiness. So we're going to look at one of the most powerful and potent narratives of preparation in the Gospels. I'll read it all, and then we'll break it apart. I'm only going to read 6 verses. That's all I got. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. You got that? Come on. Advent, come on, get my paper Bibles out, turn in your digitals, power up your laptop, scroll in your tablet. Just do whatever you got to do. Get your cell phone out, unless you ain't got enough discipline not to go on the socials. Matthew 3, verse 1. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself had on a garment of camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him. Watch it. All Judea and all the district around the Jordan. Mm-hmm. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. That's our passage. Somebody say, be bold.
Be bold.
So when it comes to boldness, that's right. That's the babies back there. It's the babies. When it comes to boldness, the first boldness that I have to have as I'm preparing for arrival, go back to verse 1 for me. The first boldness that I have to have is boldness to say. If you're going to prepare for arrival, you're going to have enough bold. You need to have enough boldness to say what needs to be said. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Look at what it says in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching. That's proclaiming in the wilderness. Look at this. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 3. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Go back to verse 1. In the wilderness. Many folk wouldn't preach if they told you your pulpit had to be. Do I have enough boldness to say what needs to be said, even if I don't like where he sends me to say it? Or who I got to say it to? He's preaching in the wilderness. I start looking at maps, Deacon Vincent, looking for the wilderness of Judea. Ain't nothing out there. No big city, no comfortable, well-populated area. John the Baptist said, like Isaiah, here I am, send me. And the response of God is, go in the middle of nowhere and start talking about me. Don't go where the people are, go where I send you. This is counterintuitive to what we think builds a church. All of the church growth strategies, help me God, tell us that we got to do things a certain way. We got to make sure that all you guys have all the accoutrement. You know, we got to build slides for your kids to be able to slide in the children's church. And we can't just have any coffee. You got to have gourmet name brand. Neon, and you got to have smoke, and as one preacher said, lasers. You got to have all of that. And so we have churches who are full of the things. As a matter of fact, they're full of everything but Jesus. You go in, you like, oh, it's so nice in here. And the Lord was like, I don't like it at all. I don't like it in here. You're like, look how nice it is in here. Ooh, I love what they've done to the place. The Lord was like, I don't. They kicked me out. And so I find it interesting, Sister Pat, that when Jesus comes on the scene, the one who heralded his arrival didn't go to the church. The one who told everybody he was coming did not go visit a synagogue. He went out in the middle of nowhere and he said, hey, repent. Repent. In the middle of nowhere. Matthew is probably one of, if not the most Jewish gospel of the four gospels, written to a predominantly Jewish audience. And I need y'all to understand that when John the Baptist goes in the middle of nowhere, looking crazy, I'll deal with that in a minute, looking crazy, yelling out, repent, all of my highfalutin Jewish phylactery wearing, been in church all their life, all of them jokers was like, who are you talking to? I know the Torah. See, okay. I've been walking with God. I know the scriptures. But he tells them, repent. Derek Prince defines repentance as a decision of the will followed by appropriate action. Come on, warm them pens. I'm well rested. A decision of the will followed by appropriate action. You have not repented if you're not doing nothing different. It's followed by appropriate action, not just action, appropriate action. That's like the scripture in James where it says faith without works is dead. Watch this. Faith, not with just any work, faith without corresponding action is dead. Okay, so if faith without a corresponding action is dead, a declaration of sorrow without a corresponding action that demonstrates sorrow is also dead. You cannot tell me you've repented and you still treat me the same. You can't say it. All of your amens that you'll give while the preacher is up preaching does not mean that you have had the appropriate action. And the appropriate action is not always the comfortable action. The appropriate action is not always the action that you want. Sometimes the appropriate action is, watch this, for the one who has been abused to say, I'm good. Oh, and I got quiet in here. Well, I'm waiting on them to apologize to me. For what? Why are you trying to get something from man that God promised? So you about to hold your whole life up waiting on somebody to apologize that might not even know Jesus? You going through. And the person might not even. Does it make any sense? In the Old Testament, to repent meant to turn from and turn back to. You know, like, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. You know that text. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. In the New Testament, repent meant to change your mind. Okay, you got to do both. You got to turn from, turn to, and change your mind. In other words, repentance is an internal change. First. Which then has a corresponding action. And so here it is. John, in the middle of nowhere, talking about, stop it! Act different. Many of us would have been like, I ain't going to that church. I'm not going to that church. They keep telling me to change. They keep challenging my status quo. And maybe that's what's wrong with us. We want to stay in places that are okay with us staying the same. So you first have to have boldness to say it. And let me speak to some of you right now as you are preparing for arrival. I need you to get boldness to say, before you say it to others, get boldness to say to yourself. Some of y'all need to have a good old sit down with yourself today. Hey, you, forgive yourself. Hey, you, get past yourself. Deal with yourself. Hey, you, get your habits right. Get focused, self. You need to have that. Don't be going talking to nobody else, dealing with nobody else. Have that conversation with yourself. So I need to have boldness to say. Number two, I gotta have boldness to stand out. Verse four. Look at verse four. I gotta have boldness to stand out. We in verse four? Now John himself had on a garment. a camel's hair, a leather belt round his waist. His food, leave this verse up, locusts and wild honey. Now, y'all, I'm telling y'all right now, we ain't going to that church. I got this dude in the middle of nowhere yelling, repent. And then when I finally got out here to see what all the noise was about, I seen the brother. And have you seen him? Do y'all see my man's fit? Man's fit? I don't know about this preacher. I don't know about this dude. Heard Pastor Lyons on the podcast. I couldn't see him, but then when I saw him, I got there. Did you see his fit? He had on this funny little white thing, and I don't know what that is. And the people with him had on all this funny stuff, and I don't know what that is. And I looked in the church, and that don't look like I think it should look. Maybe I shouldn't go to that church. I start digging into his outfit, y'all. Dr. Brett Yardley. Y'all okay? I'm having a good time. Dr. Brett Yardley says that John the Baptist was a prophet of old like Jeremiah, to whom the word came shattering 400 years of prophetic silence. Now watch this. Since John the Baptist was to fulfill the role of Elijah, preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah, he dressed like Elijah. Y'all, okay, y'all quiet in here. Since I gotta do what Elijah did, I'm gonna have to dress like Elijah dressed. When they saw him like this, they would have immediately said, oh, that's Elijah. When they see you, what comes to mind? You see, when I look at old pictures, Daphne, when I look at old pictures of churches in the middle of a plantation, when I look at old pictures of people who were being baptized in the water, you always knew who the man of God was. Because he wasn't dressed like the congregation. I've seen pictures of churches on plantations where the slave master is next to the clergyman and the clergyman has on his collar. Don't tell me that this is an invention. What it is a differentiation. And what we do is we want to look like the world in order to reach the world. John the Baptist is out here and he's like, first of all, I got the boldness to tell your Jewish audience, repent. Second of all, I also have the boldness not to look like y'all. There are some things, people of God, that you shouldn't be. Huh? Deaf to all this sexy church we have in. We don't need no more sexy church. Oh, y'all, some of y'all looking like, what you mean? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I shouldn't see your heartbeat because your shirt is so tight, preacher. Woman of God is giving the word that day, and she was trying to see how low she could get the shirt and how tight she could get her leggings and how high she could get her stilettos. And so she's sitting up there strutting with her Louboutins on with a great big old 24-inch Gucci belt on. I can't hear the word. Got you on a Gucci headlamp. I can't hear the word. I don't want your style. I need Jesus. We need substance. There is war going on in this world. We need substance. There are children that are overdosing. We need substance. The school system is messed up. We need substance. These churches, we don't need stars. We need prophets. We don't need stars. We need preachers. We don't need stars. We need modern day folk who are willing to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And as we begin Advent, stop being a scaredy cat. Be bold. You ain't got to be mean. You ain't got to be arrogant. But you got to say what needs to be said. And you can't look like them. Huh? You're not going to outdo the world trying to be worldly. Amen. Come into the church. All we can see is your production. The rough clothing and the austere diet, Yardley says, recall the stern self-sacrificing, self-denying ministries of the Old Testament prophets. In other words, John the Baptist, when they went out to him, they said, "You don't look like the rich rabbis." Huh? They came out there and seen John, they said, "Huh. That dude preaching about his Maybach. You preaching about Jesus. One of these things is not like the other." Yardley goes on to say, in this way, John's clothes were, watch this, a protest to spiritual softness. I said, "Yardley, you better preach, sir." Dr. Yardley says they're a protest to spiritual softness. It's a softness that had become comfortable in Israel. They get out to see the prophet K, and they're like, "This dude is a little rough." He was the precursor for something rougher that was coming. As a matter of fact, I won't go there, Chris Campbell, but as a matter of fact, you know how he's yelling in the wilderness, "Repent." By the time y'all get to Matthew 4, don't turn. I only got a few more minutes. By the time you get to Matthew 4, when Jesus stand up, you know the first thing he said, "Repent." I know they was like, "We have heard this before." John the Baptist in the middle of the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." Jesus gets ready to come. His first sermon, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I'm sure everybody was like, "John just said that." Watch this. If the preacher don't sound like Jesus, why are we listening? The words that come out of my mouth must match the words that would come out of his mouth. And if the two words don't go together, that right there, huh? That ain't revelation. That's heresy. So I got to have boldness to say it. I got to have boldness to stand out. And then finally, I got to have boldness to do. There's some things I'm going to need y'all to do over the course of Advent that you've been putting off. It's all right, Veronica. You're going to be all right. I'm going to need you to go ahead and do what needs to be done. Give her a tissue. Get her together. So boldness to say, boldness to stand out. All this fitting in you've been doing all year, I just want to be in the background. Your background is over. I just want to be in the background. I don't need nobody to see me. Over. We're done with that. Background season's over. Background season's over. Background season's over. I ain't never seen salt and light that fades into the background. How in the world he tell us to be salt and light? Anytime you put salt on something, the salt tells you it's there. Y'all see, y'all play too much. I wish I had 2-3 people who could cook in here. Some of y'all who didn't understand what I just said, maybe y'all can't cook. Come on now. If you sitting up there and your food needs some salt, you put the salt on there and the salt says, "I have arrived." Anything you put salt on, the salt announces itself. "I am here." You put too much salt, it changes everything. Salt will preserve. Literally, you can put salt on something and it'll stop it from spoiling. Huh? Salt can take something you don't want and turn it into something that you enjoy. Have you ever been in a restaurant and you sit up there like, "It's all right, it just needs a little"? And you tell me when you've ever seen a light that don't stand out. A light that don't light ain't a light at all. Your background season is over. I need you to be bold. Huh? No, you're not just one of the boys. You saved. Salt and light. Huh? No, okay, God, I'll say that. No, the next girl's trip, you can't just get away and kick it. Because the girls you've been kicking it with ain't trying to do what needs to be done. Stop going on these girls' trips to go sin and come back talking about, ooh, I'm refreshed. No, you need to repent. You done ran to the girls' trip, got half naked, got drunk most of the nights, found you a couple men that ain't gonna know your name, came back and said, Lord, it was a great trip. You're in sin. You're nasty. Same way with the guys. No, I'm equal opportunity. Same way with the guys. You at the game, acting a stark raving fool. Can't control your eyes. Can't control your gambling. Don't look at me three-quarter simple. Spending your bill money trying to get a bet on the LeBron game. Repent! I thought it was Advent. Thought we was preparing for a rival. To prepare for a rival, I'm going to need you to sweep. You got guests coming. Don't just throw that stuff up underneath the couch. And see, the reality is, watch this, what you do when guests are arriving only highlights how trifling you are without a guest. If you gotta run around and scramble when a guest comes, that means you have so much disrespect for yourself that you live in filth. And then when guests come, you play Halloween for them. Hurry up, y'all. Let's do what we never do in order to impress people coming over. Come on, kids. Clean your room. It's been dirty all year, but grandma's coming. Clean up. And this is why some of you are stressed. This is why some of you are worried. This is why some of you are distressed. Because you recognize that the standard of Jesus has a requirement on you that you don't even want in your own life. You don't want what he wants. And so when you read what he wants, you're in a panic about when he's going to show up. Jesus like, no spots, no wrinkles. You've been going out wrinkled for 40 years. So you like, no spots, no wrinkles, no spots, no wrinkles, no spots, no wrinkles. Wars and rumors of war. You got war breakout in Israel. You start trying to pull out your spiritual iron like, might be today. Might be today. So I got to have boldness to say. I got to have boldness to stand out. Yeah, come on now. This, get right. And then lastly, I got to have boldness to do. I'm almost done. If y'all agitated, y'all will be okay. Boldness to do. Boldness to do what? Everything God tells you to. But Lord, can I, well, if I do it, can I do it my way? No. Can I do it in my time? No. Can I do it under my circumstances? Absolutely not. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Jerusalem was going out to him. Oh, I love this verse, Orlando. I got a crazy man eating locusts and wild honey with a camel hair vestment on, yelling in the middle of nowhere. This crazy, right? Repent! The people in Jerusalem was like, let's go see this brother. That's real growth right there. They going out to him, all Judea, all the district around Jordan. I just need to slow down. I'm almost through. Everybody's going out. They're going to see him. He don't change his message. Repent. Somebody coming. Clean your house. Get stuff together. Pull the refrigerator out and sweep behind it. Okay. Pull out that stove. Get behind the stove. Clean your microwave. Essence, tell your husband I said it. Clean the microwave. Do something. Lift up the mat in your car and vacuum underneath that. Clean your trunk. Clean your trunk. Verse 6. They're being baptized. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. So they go out there. Crazy man in the crazy outfit, still yelling repent, eating locusts and stuff. I'm sure they was like, look, man, if you just come to the house, we can get you some bread. We can. We'll bake it for you. We got all kind of stuff. We got grain. We got threshing floors. My man out here like, look, we out here. And they get out there and he says, all right, y'all need to get baptized in the Jordan. Excuse me. Excuse me. Point of clarification, John. Point of clarification. Okay, baptized. Cool. But in there? In the Jordan? The same nasty Jordan? It's dirty. Study the Jordan. It's a filthy, just nasty. The sediment comes down. This is why in the Old Testament, when the prophet told him to go dip yourself in the Jordan, he was like, I'm rich. You want me to go put my, it's nasty. And so now Jesus is coming in the same Jordan. The same Jordan. Get in there. As a matter of fact, Krista, this is the same Jordan that Jesus is going to make John baptize him in. So how in the world are we, with our seditty selves, unwilling to get down in the Jordan when Jesus asked to be baptized in the Jordan? Because we want all of our freedom to look a certain way. And so, watch this. I start looking, and I'm done. I really am. I start looking at this Jordan, and I'm trying to figure this thing out. You know, this message has caused me to look at a lot of maps, and I got these maps all over my desk, and I'm, you know. And I said, wait a minute. I start looking at this thing, and I said, wait, the Jordan is the river that separates where they were from Canaan. Still ain't caught it. It's the same river that they would have had to get to the promised land. It's the same river that the prophets would have had to cross to demonstrate their power. It's the same river that miracles had happened within the water. The Jordan then becomes the line of demarcation between where you are and where God wants you to be. If you're unwilling to get in the Jordan, you don't want to go to your promise. The Jordan is the thing in between where you are and where the Lord is. If they didn't want to go to Canaan because they didn't want the Jordan, stay where you are. But if you want to get to Canaan, you got to go through the Jordan. There's going to be some times where you're going to be like, do I have to go through that? Yes. Do I have to endure it? Absolutely. But they've been talking about me. That's your Jordan. It's your Jordan River. You'll come out and all they'll be able to say is, well, you're a little dirty, but you sure is healed though. You sure is healed. You look so much better. But we're not willing to get into Jordan because we're still trying. Watch, you want to get free cute. We done with cute season, saints. We ain't got time for cute. You try, huh? Sweat your makeup off. Come on now. Pull that hair back in a ponytail. We fighting. Come on now. Take them earrings off. Vaseline your lips up. Let's go. Let's just go ahead. We got stuff to do, and you still busy trying to be cute. You better roll your sleeves up. This is work out here. Yeah. Oh, It's work. We got work to do. We got work. I remember I told my son, he was coming out to help me do something in the yard. He was having a complaining moment. He was coming out. He was coming out to do something in the yard. And I said, son, you gonna wear those shoes to work out in the yard? You know, he said, oh no, dad, this is no problem. It's no problem. These right here, I don't mind what happens to these because they don't really fit me anymore. Preach, Trey. See, there comes a time where you got to say, look, the stuff that don't fit me, why is it such a priority to me? Selah. The stuff that don't fit me, like, why am I sitting up there? It don't fit. We good. I got to have boldness to say what needs to be said. I got to have boldness to stand out. And I got to have boldness to do what needs to be done. Don't you reject your Jordan. Don't you do that. You right here at it. Some of you are literally knee deep in it right now. Go ahead and get in there up to your neck. You know, I have a thing for strange videos. And so I study, Chrissy, the benefits of ice baths. It's a phenomenal phenomenon. But the people who are serious about it, like they keep the tub outside and they put the ice in it. And sometimes, especially the people who do ice baths like in really cold temperatures, like Ontario and Antarctica, they just leave it outside. And when they get out to the bath, they literally got to take an axe and break the top layer of axe off. Top layer of ice, they got to break that off. And so you see all these big old floating chunks of ice. And so they come out with their beanie and they jump in. Their little beanie on, their little swim shorts, and they jump in the water. I'm cold for them. I'm cold for him. And he says, the one guy who's sitting up there and you can see him, he says, the shiver response is my body telling me that it's cold. He said, but if I put my head under. He says, so what you got to do the first time you get into to an environment, like this is a beneficial environment that is causing my body to reject it. The environment that I'm in has all manner of health benefits, but I don't want to do it because I don't like the way it feels. So when my body gets into it, the first thing that the body does is reject it even though it's being helped. Reject it even though it's being transformed. It's building your immune system. It's changing your blood flow. It's doing all of these things. It's helping all of these things in your body, but your body is saying, no, we don't want it. So he said, put your head under. And he put his head under, and he comes out, and he says, now control your breathing. Because your body wants to panic breathe. In other words, slow your breathing down. Tell your body it's supposed to be here. When I slow that breathing down, what I'm telling my body is the panic breathing that you're doing doesn't match the benefit that we're in. We're not going to panic breathe. We're going to tell the body that this is normal. Some of you right now need to go all the way head down. I mean, some of y'all need to jump in head first to y'all Jordan. Don't tiptoe in. Don't be like testing out the water. Let's see what it do to my toe. No, just swan dive on into there. Boldness. Somebody say, be bold.
Be bold.
Boldness to say, have a good old conversation with yourself today. Boldness to stand out. Stop trying to fit in. It don't work. And then boldness absolute boldness to do what needs to be done. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I honor you. You're good. Matter of fact, you're better than good. That's just some of the height of our vocabulary. God, we could say you are exceptional. That wouldn't do it. We could say that you are amazing, but that almost sounds like an insult, as if the great works that you do don't make sense. They don't have to make sense, but they're normal for you. God, if we said that you were normal, we would be bringing you down. If we said that you were extraordinary, God, we would show that we believe that what you do is by happenstance. God, we'll just say that you are everything. As you said to Moses, I am that I am. Your character has no equivalent. Thank you for even being willing to be anywhere near us. Allow us to not just hear this word, but to be doers of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Clap those hands.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.